Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills with Microsoft. I'm joined by Keith Mayer. How's it going, Keith?
I'm doing well today, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing well. You ready for part three on Operations Management Suite?
I'm ready.
Okay, cool. If you're just joining this video, we did part one, which gives you an overview of OMS and how it fits into the other Microsoft management tools. And then part two was all about insights and control and automation and analytics. All right, now we're ready for part three. We're going to be talking about security and compliance. That's a big deal, as well as protection and recovery. So there's a lot in OMS. Be sure to check out the first two videos if you're just now joining, but let's go ahead and get started, Keith. So there's a lot to security and compliance. How does OMS, Operations Management Suite, help us with this?
Yeah, definitely. So from a security and compliance perspective, OMS is focused on the key areas from a security standpoint that are important in IT organizations that and frequently take up a lot of time to manage manually. Things like broad anti-malware assessments across your entire portfolio of server workloads and whatnot, as well as being able to establish against security baselines, right? So that if you have a baseline where you've identified, hey, this server configuration is at a minimum what we want every server to be built with, and I want to know about those servers that don't meet this baseline, OMS has great capabilities for being able to do that type of security compliance review and audit as well. And then another area that, particularly with a lot of the publicity around large internet sites that have been hacked, accounts being lost and whatnot, another area that a lot of IT organizations are interested in is getting better insight into logon and identity and access issues, so that when there's repetitive logon failures or suspicious logons that are occurring, they have a dashboard that can help roll that up to them and alert them that those things are occurring, for instance. But I think the most interesting piece for me of OMS is the advanced threat analytics piece of it, where OMS is actually leveraging machine learning algorithms, right, to collect security statistics and alert you to security patterns that are occurring before those patterns, in many cases, have a chance to become a threat to your environment. So that's another key piece of the security and compliance pillar of OMS as well.
Nice. And can you talk a little bit about how Microsoft uses information across different security events to make everyone safer?
Yeah, definitely. So, it's a great question, actually. From a Microsoft standpoint, we obviously run huge numbers of data centers all over the world ourselves for services like Azure and Office 365, Dynamics 365 as well, and OMS and Intune and all of those capabilities, right? Across all of those properties, we have our own probes, essentially, that are deployed and listening and looking at the events that are running there. And what tools like OMS allow you to do is take advantage of some of that built-in intelligence that we're running across all of our cloud properties globally and align that with the security events or logs that you're seeing as well within your specific deployments to produce a collective vision of world security posture as it has the ability to affect your deployments. So it's giving a small organization, for instance, much greater visibility into building threats, that building security issues that haven't quite affected them from a threat or vulnerability standpoint yet, as a, think of it as your early warning system, right, for your environment. And what I mean by that is if an IT organization takes the traditional approach of monitoring just their perimeter, they'll know about events when they hit their perimeter, but what they won't know about is the events that are perhaps happening in another region elsewhere in the world that are beginning to build momentum until they hit their network. So by leveraging tooling like OMS, it allows you to plug into sort of that global early warning system that gives you visibility into security issues as they're building elsewhere, as well as security issues that are occurring in your own environment.
Right. Awesome. Yeah, there's no doubt that security is a huge topic right now, and it's been a big focus of our cloud products as well as our on-prem Windows Server and System Center products. And I want to go back to video number two a little bit, where we talked about the runbook and the automation scripts that could be kicked off, you know, based off of logs that were received by OMS. Can you talk about how we have some of that same capability with security? So when we receive security events, you know, based on threats that we detect or strange patterns in logins or traffic, that we can kick off runbooks and scripts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, any of that type of information that's sitting in OMS can ultimately be boiled up into an alert condition, right? And alert conditions in OMS can trigger more than just a passive notification that comes up on a dashboard. They can also trigger proactive events of reaching out to an email notification or an SMS text alert or a Azure Automation runbook, you know, for instance, so that you could have a situation where, you know, if someone's user account is repetitively failing on login, you can have that flag an administrator on email and also run a runbook that might temporarily disable that user account while the administrator looks into that security issue in more detail, right? So things like that can be used in a very intelligent manner. OMS can also trigger off external webhooks. And so if you have some intelligence, you know, in the security space in particular, oftentimes security is implemented in IT organizations as a collection of products, right? And so if you have some other automation that's sitting elsewhere outside of an automation runbook, outside of OMS, you can, as long as that other product can be kicked off through a webhook, which is a pretty common way of having actions kicked off in a multi-vendor nature, OMS alerts can also kick off a webhook as well. And you might be using third-party tools like PagerDuty, for instance, for alert notification. And so you could have your OMS alert actually kick off a webhook that would use PagerDuty to notify what's going on. So those types of integration points are extremely valuable when you start thinking about using your network as a collective whole, a collective whole from a security defense standpoint, instead of having all these point solutions that are completely disconnected from one another.
Yeah, great answer. And I love how we're tying together log analytics with security, with the automation to be able to, you know, share information across all these things and take action, you know, based on logs received or security events that happen. Very powerful. And thank you for mentioning the webhooks as well. So that makes it really easy for OMS to kick off, you know, all kinds of third-party actions or remediations to solve problems that are, you know, have nothing to do with Microsoft. So very cool. All right, let's talk now about protection and recovery. A lot of people are very interested in this, and that's one of the main reasons they start looking at OMS. So from a protection and recovery standpoint, how does OMS help us, Keith?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So OMS includes, in the protection and recovery, it includes two key products, Azure Backup and Azure Site Recovery. And both of those are important for a comprehensive backup and recovery standpoint. Azure Backup is basically allowing you to get away from tape management as your offsite backup tool, and instead being able to back up your data on-prem or elsewhere to a set of cloud backup vaults that are encrypted and managed in our Azure data center regions worldwide, so that as you do those backups, you're backing up to the cloud in an encrypted manner with encryption keys that you're in control of, and you don't have to worry about all the headaches around and cost around traditional tape management as an offsite backup component of your recovery strategy. In addition, you know, it also provides much better resiliency, much better much better posture when it comes time to recover than going back to tape. It can be much faster than recovering from tape. And, you know, tape, let's face it, a lot of times when tapes go off-site, who knows what kind of environment they're sitting in. I know in some small environments that were using tape 3 years, 4 years, 5 years ago, they used to keep them in the trunk of the IT administrator's car. Not exactly an ideal environment for making sure you can actually recover from those tapes when you need to. Whereas when you're backing up using Azure Backup to the cloud, you're backing up to a controlled cloud data center region facility that's specifically engineered around keeping that data available to you and secure at the same time. So that's the traditional backup and restore, either of entire VMs or specific files and folders on those VMs, whether they're Windows VMs or Linux VMs, for instance.
Nice. Yeah, if you want to see a scared IT person, tell them we need the backup tapes.
that's
a scared IT person right there. So very nice. So Azure Backup is part of the protection and recovery in OMS. It lets us back up our Windows servers. What else can we back up besides Windows Server?
Yeah, so Windows and Linux. And one piece that might be of interest, earlier in one of our other episodes, we talked a little bit about OMS integration in complementing System Center. So for larger organizations that have System Center, they may already be using System Center Data Protection Manager as their on-prem protection, backup, and recovery tool of choice. And where Azure Backup and OMS fits in there is that Data Protection Manager can now leverage Azure Backup as a cloud tier of your backup policy instead of having to back up the tape, or it could be in combination with backing up the tape as well. But we see a lot of environments that are actually substituting their tape tier for a cloud tier and using Azure Backup for that piece. So you can still use System Center DPM to back up all of the rich workloads in an application-aware fashion for SQL, Exchange, and all that stuff that DPM supports, and use Azure Backup as the off-site vault that those backups are pushed to from a cloud tier of your backup strategy.
Nice. Makes a lot of sense. All right, now let's go to, we didn't save the best for last, but ASR is something that people love. Let's talk about Azure Site Recovery and how that's part of OMS.
Yeah, Azure Site Recovery is a tool that can be used for a couple of different scenarios. It can be used for disaster recovery protection, for replicating your server workloads that are running on-prem, whether they're physical server workloads or virtualized workloads sitting in Hyper-V or VMware. You can replicate those running workloads out to a recovery vault in Azure. And in the case of a disaster, you can very quickly rehydrate your VMs as Azure VMs with the latest replicated copies of the disks that were sitting out in that recovery vault. So it gives you a very, very good posture in being able to do quick failovers in the event of a disaster. You can also test, and I find that this is a key advantage for a lot of organizations, you can easily test that disaster recovery failover by failing over in a test mode to an isolated virtual network out in Azure without ever impacting access to your production workloads that are still running on-prem. And I say that that's an interesting advantage because for many of the mid-size, larger organizations I've worked with over the years, disaster recovery planning, usually in order to do traditional disaster recovery failover testing, they need to interrupt access to their production environment and conduct a test. And because of that, they may only be doing disaster recovery testing maybe once or twice a year, because they need to plan a relatively large window of time where they can do that testing. It might be a weekend, you know, so it might be a 48-hour period of time. And in addition, because they're only doing their testing of their disaster recovery plan once or twice a year, usually what they find is that every time they do their disaster recovery test, there's some changes that have been made to their IT environment since the last time they tested that don't quite fail over in the way that they were expecting. And so it becomes this constant rhythm in the traditional disaster recovery testing process of plan your outage window for disaster recovery, take down your production environment, fail over to DR, test and determine what came up, and then record what didn't so that you can make corrections. And then during the next interval that you have DR testing, which might be 6 months to a year away, plan for how you're going to successfully fail over those issues. Obviously, with a very agile IT environment that's constantly making changes these days, that kind of traditional disaster recovery testing posture just doesn't work well. And what Azure Site Recovery allows you to do is it allows you to test on the fly. You could do testing every week, every day if you wanted to ensure that the last set of changes that you've made are failing over correctly without ever having to coordinate an outage window again of your production environment. So really empowers you from a disaster recovery standpoint to not only implement a disaster recovery plan, but have it be a tested, actionable plan that you know you can trust when it comes time that, heaven forbid, you have an actual disaster and need to put it in place. So yeah. Disaster recovery is a one key aspect, and then we can talk about migration in a moment as well with ASR.
Yeah, so with disaster recovery, as you know, historically it's just been too expensive for a lot of companies to have a proper disaster recovery plan. They couldn't afford to replicate their production data center in some, you know, DR site and have all that hardware and, you know, processes and software licenses and everything sitting there just doing nothing, waiting for a disaster. That's just not cost effective for a lot of companies. And so a lot of companies that have had disasters happen have never recovered from those. So this really gives you an affordable disaster recovery plan with, you know, orchestrated recovery and a lot of really enterprise-y tools at a really low cost. So ASR is really the greatest thing since sliced bread for a lot of companies. But let's go ahead and talk about migration, Keith. How does ASR help us with migration to Azure?
Yeah. So it's a great question. If you think about the replication aspect and the failover aspects that we've positioned earlier for being a great solution for cost-effective, tested disaster recovery, those same base capabilities could also be leveraged as a great accelerated migration path. So if there's certain workloads that you have that an organization's looking to migrate to the Azure cloud already, and it's kind of sitting there scratching their head, hey, I've got, you know, these 50 VMs, how do I quickly get those up to Azure so that I can migrate those up to Azure and optimize my on-prem data center for other workloads that I want to continue to run on-prem? That whole replication and failover approach could be used for migrating those VMs. So you take your VMs that you wish to migrate, you replicate them up to a Azure Site Recovery Vault. They're doing live replication and getting everything synced up to the minute, right? And when you want to actually pull the trigger and do that migration, you fail over and your VMs running on-premise or your servers running on-premise shut down. They get rehydrated out in Azure on a virtual network that's connected back to your data center through a site-to-site VPN connection or express route. And suddenly you've done the equivalent of spun up a whole group of VMs in a different virtual data center, quote unquote, in a different cloud data center region on your network. And so it becomes a very seamless process, particularly those organizations that might have lots of small applications, right, that are scattered across, you know, hundreds of VMs in some cases, you know, the whole VM sprawl issue that a lot of organizations have suffered from because of the popularity of virtualization. Getting right. those out to be migrated into the cloud with ASR is a very easy process.
Nice. We're almost out of time here, Keith, but I just have one last question. A lot of people out there are running their infrastructure on Amazon Web Services, AWS. Does OMS play nice with AWS?
It does, yeah. So OMS, as we talked about in I think our first episode, right, OMS is really cloud agnostic. And so it's allowing you to manage, to protect, and to gain insights across your virtual workloads and on-prem physical workloads as well, regardless of what data center or cloud they're based on. So I know several customers that have, based on mergers and acquisitions, they have some VMs that are running on-prem, some that are running in hosted data centers like Rackspace or a colo or whatnot, other VMs that are running in Azure, other workloads that are running in Amazon AWS. And the benefit that OMS provides is it's the one tool that's available that allows you to plug in to all of those workloads, regardless if they're running, roll up consistent analytics and insights over them, and security and compliance, be able to automate them in consistently, regardless of where they're running, and be able to protect them as well.
Yeah. Awesome. If you've made it this far to the end of the third video, you're starting to see the power of OMS, the automation and control, insights and analytics, security and compliance, protection and recovery, on-prem, in the cloud, Windows Server, Linux, AWS, VMware, all together. So awesome. Great set of videos, Keith. Thank you so much for your insights on this. For everybody out there, I hope you enjoyed the OMS three-part series. We'll see you next time on OEM TV.